go. All right. We are officially recording. How awesome is that? Okay, great. All right. We've got a lot of people calling in, so I want to welcome everybody that's calling in. We're just going to wait a few minutes until 60 seconds. I want to welcome those of you that are on the call. You were on early, and I saw that Phil was the first one from New York City. Was on hold there for a while. You know, the purpose, while we're waiting for people to call in, the purpose of this call is for a couple of things. Number one is to help you guys stay focused on what you should be doing the next 30 days. Also, to answer any questions that you have. You know, this is your opportunity during the 60 minutes to really, you know, get some one-on-one coaching with me and with other people listening in so they can benefit from it. So, you know, I really would like you to look at this as your opportunity to spend time with me and to get your questions answered to help your business. But like anything else, you get out of it what you put into it, as is true in life. So, you know, make sure you ask me. This is your call. If we don't have a lot of people asking me questions, then I'll do some other material. I'll go over the magazine. Now, for those of you that are first time on the Power Call, I want to remind you or tell you a couple of things. There's a website just for Power Agents called thepowerprogram.com. And when you log into that site, there's a tremendous amount of benefits in there for you. Now, this month, what we did is we switched. For those of you that have been Power Agents for a really long time with me, we used to have a format of the digital magazine that was another software that we used, and that was a little problematic for people. And so it had some security precautions. It was harder for people to actually share it or copy it. Anyway, long story short, what we did is we decided to make it easier for you. It's less secure for us, but it's better for you. We changed the magazine to a PDF. So now you can easily download the magazine. You can easily save it to your computer. You can easily, once you get it on your computer in Adobe, then you can start to mess with it. So how you get to the magazine, once again, is you have to log into thepowerprogram.com. On the homepage, you'll see the magazine. This month's magazine is over 50 pages, some really great stuff. We also interview agents every month. And this month, I interviewed Ilana, I think you say her last name, Roche. She is with Weikert. And, you know, the reason why I interviewed her, I want you to hear her production. First of all, I interviewed her back in March. So she's only now making it into the magazine. But from August to December of last year, so what is that? She's a new agent. She started real estate in August. And from August to December, so it's August, September, October, November, December, so 4 or 5 months, she did only 3 listings, 5 rentals, and 1 sale. All right, nothing to write home about. But then in January, she got 5 listings, a sale and a rental. And in February, she got 3 more listings, 2 rentals and 3 sales. So, you know, she really picked up in the first 2 months of the year. Now, the reason why I interviewed her as opposed to a mega-producing agent that might be doing 6 figures, et cetera, because I thought it would be really cool to interview a new agent who is just starting the business and having really good success. I mean, it's not super top agent success, but definitely, you know, in your first year of real estate, if I add up her business, you know, in her first, not even her first full year, which she started in August, September, October, November, December, January, February, your first 6 months, she generated 8, 9, 10, 11 listings. 5, 6, 7, 8 rentals, 3, 4, 5 sales. So I think that's awesome for a first-year agent. So anyway, so I love the interview. She was really great to work with. There's great content. So you can listen to the audio CD, and I also had it transcribed in the magazine this month in the PDF. Okay. Now, with that said, let's actually get started with the coaching, because I got a couple of agents who were smart who emailed me ahead of time. I'm going to check my email one last time, see if we got any new ones. No, we did not. If anybody emails me now, I can tell you most likely I'm not going to see it because I'm not staring at my screen. Let me first deal with these two power agents and their email, their question, and then I'll open it up to everybody else. Let me see. Mary Case Friedner, are you on the call? And if you are, Mary Case, what I need you to do is hit *7 on your keypad and just give it about 10 seconds so I can it'll unmute you. So just do it one time, *7. If you're on the call with me, Mary Case, where are you, Ben? Are you there? You should be there. Come on now. Don't be shy. Oh, she's not there. Okay, I'm going to jump to maybe she's coming on later. Gene Scully, I know you're there. Gene, I'm going to unmute you. You don't even have to do it because I see you. Gene, say hello.
Hello.
Okay, good. I can hear you. So Gene, everybody, here's Gene's question. And actually, Gene, I'll let you just ask the question. And, gang, for those of you that are new to the call, I always try and take the question and make it somewhat ambiguous or broaden the question so that way everybody gets, you know, value, not ambiguous, but to broaden the question so everybody gets value. So, Gene, ask me what's going on. So you took this this great listing and blah, blah, blah. So go ahead, shoot.
Right. I took a great listing, beautiful house, really drop-dead gorgeous. Spent a lot of money for me upfront marketing it, over $500 in the first 2 weeks, about $300 for professional photographs, back page of a local paper, blah, 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 brokers open. Probably about $300 or $350 more than I would normally spend in the first couple of weeks. And after 2 weeks, they took the house off the market. They decided to stay. And so my question was, how do people deal with that? Do you ask them, do you say right up front, look, I'm going to do, this is my normal marketing plan, I'm willing to do X, Y, Z, but if you take the house off the market, I'd like to be reimbursed, or do you think that would be a turnoff? I'm just not sure what to do.
Yeah, listen, first of all, this is a great question. I've never gotten this question before. That's why it's a great one. And you know, here's what I can tell you. So a couple of things. First of all, you said that you spent about $500 total. Yeah, so, yeah, professional photographs, brokers on my house, back page ad, email flyers. Okay, and these you said these are friends of yours. How close are they?
Very close. Very, very good. Actually, the husband used to be my boyfriend. and I'm friends with the wife. I was at their wedding. And I see them. I talk to them and see them almost every day. So, like, really, really, really good friends. But I was hoping to kind of broaden it out, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, all right. Well, first of all, this got a little bit weirder now. But that's another conversation for another time.
That's right.
So, yeah, here's what I think you need to do in this scenario. First of all, let's not just talk about this scenario. Let's talk about any scenario where everybody on the call, you know, you probably have had it happen at least once if you've been in real estate for a while, where you've spent this money and the homeowners took it off the market. There's a couple of things that you can do. First of all, you learn from it so that way you can put something in place for the future. What I would do is, first of all, if somebody takes it off the market, most MLSs have what's called a conditional release, meaning that if they should sell within the original listing agreement time frame, they would agree to either list back with you or to pay a commission. So, in other words, if they are lying that, you know, we're taking it off the market. So there's one thing that we have in place. The second thing is, in this scenario, they're saying they're going to take it off for a couple of years.
Right.
You know, I think if I think what I would do is in the course of doing business, you know, this happens, you know, we spend money, we lose money, blah, blah, blah. But if you have an exceptional listing where you're spending exceptional money out of your pocket, meaning
right.
that it's not the normal amount that you normally would do. I think as a rule of thumb for all of us, here's a good thing to put into place. After you get the listing and after you they find it, I would then go back to the homeowners and say, you know what, I was thinking, you know, after I left the other night and I put it into MLS, and by the way, here's a copy of it and here's the description. You know, one of the things I think that I want to do is I want to actually make a bigger investment than what I originally promised you when I met with you. And here's a few examples. What I want to do is this. I want to take, you know, the drone aerial photos, and I also want to do, you know, full page and back page of this, da, 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 da. And, you know, in looking at this, here's the cost. The out-of-pocket expense for me to do these additional things is $500. Now, you can do a couple of things, Gene. You can say, in a scenario like this, Mr. and Mrs. Hanahana, what we do, because it's above and beyond, I don't have to do these things, but these are things that might make us money. In the case where it's above and beyond, is the homeowner can choose to make that additional investment. It's up to you. We don't have to do it. So one way of doing it, Gene, is have the homeowner pay it as opposed to you. Number two is that you don't do that. You outlay the money, and they sign an agreement understanding that the commission is, you know, whatever you got. Let's say it's 6%, but now it'll be an additional $500 to reimburse extra marketing expenses at closing. So you would actually just have them sign a document saying that they're going to reimburse you the commission plus this additional money that you spent. That would be a second option. So those are the two things that you want to do. Now, just so you know also that this is not totally out of the realm, Gene, in some cases I know some agents, I know some franchises that even played with this idea for a while, which was that when they had a homeowner sign a listing agreement, they actually cut a check for administrative costs of, let's say, $395. So the homeowner would sign a listing agreement for whatever percentage plus the length, plus they would cut a check on the listing appointment in the amount of $395 or $500 or something like that. That was not reimbursable. That was like an administrative processing fee.
Wow.
And I really liked that idea. Now, the reason why it went away is because back in the day when we started doing it, it was before the real estate market crashed, right? So prices were going up, things were good, but 2006, the bubble busted. That administration fee kind of went away. I don't see agents doing that anymore, but now the market has turned around again. So that is something to consider. And the thing about the administrative fee concept is that if you get like, you know, if you get 10 listings and you got $400, that's $4,000. And if, let's say, out of the 10 listings, one of them doesn't sell or one of them takes it off the market, that additional $4,000 in revenue you generated helps offset some of the lost money on the other listings that either came off the market that you spent money on, or you follow what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah, you'd have a buffer.
Yeah, and of course you'd have to, if you decided to do something like that, to entertain something like that, you'd have to, you know, clear with your broker their thoughts and their opinion on it, and, you know, you probably have to split the money with the broker. Now, as far as your friends are concerned, here's what I would do, because $500 is a chunk of money, and what I would do is, did you go to your friends and ask them to reimburse you for the money, or you didn't bring it up?
I have not yet, no.
And when did this happen?
It was a couple of weeks ago that they pulled it off.
And you took it off the MLS, yeah?
Oh, yeah, it's off the MLS. And I know they're telling me the truth, just life circumstances, you know. So
I understand. So the reason why I'm asking those questions is because every day that goes by that you don't have a conversation with them, the harder it is for you to have the conversation.
That's right.
It's harder, not for you emotionally, it's harder for you to get the money back. So here's what I would do is I would go to them and say, listen, Mary John, you know, it's been a couple of weeks. I wanted to double check my numbers and stuff before I actually came to you. That's why it took a couple of weeks. But I was looking at, you know, all the monies that I had spent out of my pocket
right.
when you guys hired me to do this for you. And it actually comes out to, you know, $522.68. You know, usually what happens is a homeowner doesn't take the house off the market so quick. Usually I don't – I was going above and beyond because of you guys. You're my friend, so, you know, I made the investment for you. But, you know, we have to decide what do you want to do about this money because, obviously, you know, I didn't make that investment without expecting to get it back, you know, when we sold the house. So what do you think is the best way to handle this? And then you shut up. I'd ask the question, you shut up, you put the monkey on their back and see what they say. Now, if based on that, you know, then you can decide how to handle it. Because if they're really good friends, they should feel like, well, you know, we should reimburse you. And and the question is how. If they're not really good friends, they decide not to reimburse you. Then you decide, you know, what you want to do with that. Whether you just chalk it up to, all right, that, you know, they're still my friend, screw it, or they're my friend, but I'll never trust them again. So you have to decide how you would respond to however they respond, right?
Okay.
I would say this, though, Gene. What I would say is if they don't reimburse you, but they say they'll reimburse you when they decide to sell my house, what I would do then is I would actually have them just acknowledge that they understand the amount of the money. That way, in a year or 2 years, when they decide to sell, it won't be he said, she said, we forgot interpretations. You don't want it to hurt the friendship, so you want to have it in writing just so 2 years from now we remember what we agreed to. And so have them just acknowledge, just, you know, that this money is owed, and they'll pay it when they sell the house eventually. And then the last thing you can do if you decide to do this is you can then take that and bring it to the court and file it, and it actually would be a mechanics lien on the property if you wanted to go that far. That way, if you guys stop talking in a year or 2 years and they decide to sell it, they won't be able to close it unless they satisfy that amount. So, all right?
Yeah.
And if you decide to do that, I actually wouldn't tell them you were doing that. They don't need to know that. It's not out of integrity not to tell them. They're acknowledging that they're going to pay you. They agreed to that. And you're just going to file it so that way you can file and forget it. Okay?
Right. Okay.
Did that help you, Gene?
Yes, thank you. Thank you.
You're so welcome. Yeah. All right, good luck with that, Gene.
Thank you.
All right, I'm going to put you back on mute. Mary Case, Friedner, did you come on the call? If you did, hit *7 on your keypad one time, please. *7, and I will be able to hear you. And I'm going to give you there you are. Okay, good.
Hi.
Hi, Mary Case. Hi. So here's ask me your question, and then I'll tell you what I think.
Well, I sent you two questions. Let me think. What was the first question?
I could read your email. Actually, it was one question. You had about 6 weeks ago, one of your clients did an inspection on a condo.
Yeah.
They paid $400. Yeah, and then all of a sudden they move in and they find out that there was a problem with the water heater that the plumber said the inspector should have picked up on it if he had just looked at it for 2 minutes, yeah? So, you know, what to do about that, how to handle that? Well, here's what I would do. I'd ask the buyers who are now homeowners, I would ask them, you know, is there anything they would like you to do to help them, you know? So I wouldn't voluntarily jump in there. I would say, is there anything you would like me to do for you? And that way you're showing them that you care, that you're not, because technically, right, I mean, here's what we could say, Mary. We could say, it's not our problem. It wasn't our engineer. We didn't pick it. They decided to do it. The house is already closed. You know, don't get involved. So we could say that, and we would be right on a lot of levels by saying that. But these buyers will be future sellers. Plus, you are in real estate. Part of our job is to help and serve people. So a better approach would be to let them know that you care, you understand, you empathize with what they're going through, and simply ask them, is there something I can do to help you in this process? And they'll probably say no. It's probably because there really isn't anything for you to do. What you could recommend to them is that, yes, they should. They have two choices. They can either just chalk it up to, hey, this is a bad inspector, and that happens. Sometimes you get bad dentists, bad doctors, bad service at a restaurant. You know, that just happens. So chalk it up, move on in your life. Or if they want to pursue it, yeah, they could ask for the $400 back. If they don't get, if the inspector is not willing to do that, then they can actually bring them to court and sue them for the $400. And if they decided to do that, I actually would then sue for the repair of the heater. And because the fact that the inspector did not point out that there was a problem. See, if he had pointed out there was a problem like he should have, then the buyers could have used that as a negotiating tool with the sellers. Maybe the sellers could have repaired it. So there's a lot of things that could have happened if he had done his job that he was paid to do. So I wouldn't just ask for the $400. And just as an aside, I'm not an attorney, but I do know from a legal standpoint, if they decide to do that, they would actually have to have an estimate of cost of repairs from that plumber, so that way they can actually sue for a specific amount for the repair. The other thing I would do on this is I would try and capture this scenario. I would capture this experience somehow and use that for your future buyers. So the next buyer, the next transaction that you have, you can say to the buyers, you know what, when we go to contract, you recommend you get an inspector, and, you know, there's a contingency to that. You can go find your own. I have a couple of inspectors that I recommend. I highly recommend that you go with my recommendations as opposed to finding your own. Here's why. Number one, I'm not getting kickbacks. I don't think I am. But number two is that, you know, these inspectors, and by the way, gang, I used to say this when I talked on a listing appointment about mortgage brokers. I would say to the homeowner, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Hanahana, one of the reasons why, as a real estate agent, I can help sell your house for more money, you'll net more, it's better for you, is because it's, when buyers come to us or come to me, there's so much other services that I recommend or I have for them other than just showing property. So, for example, if a buyer buys a home privately, then the buyer's going to go out and get financing. Now, when a buyer goes to a loan officer or a bank and says, I want financing for this real estate sale, well, that bank is looking at that one customer, that one transaction. Therefore, they may be very stringent in their requirements. They may or may not get the approval for the loan, et cetera. Now, with me, because when I recommend one of my buyers to my mortgage guy, he's not looking at just this one transaction. He's looking at all the other dozens and dozens of transactions I've given him this year and how many dozens and dozens I'm going to give him in the coming years. So my point is my mortgage person works a little bit harder, is a little bit more creative. He does whatever is necessary because he doesn't want to not burn the deal. He doesn't want to burn me. And so there's a lot of power of working with somebody that does things in a mass thing like that. So what I'm saying here, Mary, is I would use this experience next time you're sitting with a buyer, say, you see, this home inspector, he was just looking at these buyers and the $400, and it was a one-time shot. If it was my inspector, he wouldn't have done this. Why? Because I would never recommend him again, and he would lose so much business. Any good inspector, home repair person, they realize that, you know what, the money is where the realtor is, because the realtor is a source of additional leads and business for them. So we have a lot of buying power as a realtor. And so I highly recommend you go with one of my inspectors, because I know you're going to get the service that you need. If not, I've got your back, and I'll look out for your interest. Anyway, so that's my suggestion on that, Mary. Was there another question that you had?
Yes, and now I can't remember what it was.
Well, that's
go on to somebody else, and I'll look in the email and see what it was.
Well, let me see here. No, now the buyer wants the money back. No, that, I'm telling you, I'm looking at a copy of the email and that you sent at 9:44 this morning, and it was just the house inspection email. I didn't get anything else. So, but if you have another question, come back, okay? I'm going to mute you so you don't have to. All right, thank you, Mary. I just muted you so you don't have to do anything. Anybody else on the call, do you have something that you need some help with that you want me to coach you on? Just hit *7 one time on your keypad. And any questions that you have about anything, business, personal, something that you need help with. So this is for you. This is your opportunity to get some one-on-one help. Barbara, are you there from Atlanta, Georgia?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Daryl.
Yes, you're welcome, Barbara.
I do have a question, and I'm sorry I didn't send it in advance, but actually, I enjoyed the last question that was answered. But my question is, I have currently a house listed. It's about $1.4 million. It's with a builder that I've been working with for 10 years. So I've been doing a lot of his business over the years. So I would say, you know, very tight with that person and trustworthy. I do have probably at this point around $1,500 invested in upfront marketing, a lot like the lady had said before. And then I'd also purchased a list of people that are prime kind of candidates, you know, people that might be making over $150,000, living in 2,400 square feet or less, you know, kind of in that area that are in a certain age group, because those are the prime people. So I've actually marketed to them.
Yeah, sure.
And bought the list, send out big, you know, postcards. I've also used the agent flyers to and I've inputted manually all the people that have sold, you know, $1 million to $2 million properties in that surrounding area and area. So I've got over 250 people that are actually opening up the emails and looking at them and done open houses, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I've done a ton of stuff. So, but I'm not getting any hit. I'm not getting very many hits. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, the open houses have been big, and I'm doing those every month. But my question is there a luxury home market website that, you know, maybe other company, like people around the world use to access if they're moving to Atlanta? Is there any sites like that that people prefer? Because I know there's quite a few, but, you know, I just don't know where to put my money as far as maybe making myself seen in that area.
Okay, so you're talking, and I want to get – I want to make sure that I'm clear on what you're asking. Are you asking me where can you promote yourself and promote what you're doing to get more listing leads on the higher end? Is that right?
Well, actually, I want to get a buyer. I want to find buyers that are, you know, could be coming from other states because of the area where this is. It's a prestigious part of Atlanta, so a lot of people move in from out of the state. So I thought, I'm on the MLS. We have two of them in the state of Georgia, and I'm on both of those. And I pay for syndication to third party sites. But I don't know if am I hitting, you know, people that might be coming in from out of the country. I'm just trying to figure out what else I can do to market this thing.
Okay. Well, I, you know, honestly, here's the thing. When you're at this high level, it's going to take time for you to pop a sale. So that's the first thing. The second thing, you know, it's such a specific thing to the market, is I would look at wherever the wherever the money is. You know, there's an old joke. I don't think it's funny, but for some reason it's been around forever. It's like, you know, Willie Sutton was asked, you know, why did he rob banks, you know, back in the 1800s, and Willie Sutton said that because that's where the money is. And I think it's a stupid joke, but that's the joke. Anyway, so what I would do is I would go where the buyers are. So that would be I'm sorry, not the health club. What am I talking about? The country club. You know, I would go to country clubs where people hang out. I think what you did is a great idea. If you mail to that target market mailing where the homes that people are living in, they would sell those homes to move up, yeah, and move up into that neighborhood. The other thing that I would do is, well, you've done an open house on this property and you got a good turnout.
Yeah, the first one I did, I blitzed the entire neighborhood. I hit that other list, and then I had like a gazillion balloons all around. So on my first one, I had probably about 28 people attending, which honestly for Georgia, that's nobody could believe it. That was like an amazing number. And then the second and the second one, I probably only had maybe 10 people come through. But, you know, I thought I had an interesting, you know, person, but they backed out. But, I mean, I'm doing that. I'm going to be doing that every month, but I don't want to do it too much because the 250 agents that are actually opening my emails, I don't want them to start, you know, not opening them. You know, I want to keep getting vision to those people.
Yeah. You want to be careful of overdoing that. Well, there are websites, like there's this thing called mansionglobal.com, which is a website that you could actually advertise on. There's another one called luxuryportfolio.com. So these are a couple, and I think, of course, you've got, you know, Zillow, and there's also, I think, uniquehomes.com, and I'm not sure about luxuryhomes.com. And then there's DuPointRegistry.com. Luxuryhomes.com would be one for sure, and DuPointRegistry.com.
Okay, I'll look into those then.
Look into those websites. I think the mailing that you're doing is a good idea. You can ask your current seller for a list of their contacts and to call those contacts. And you'll call them for them, telling them that. And here's the other thing I would do, too, is I would actually, with your laser printer, I would, or VistaPrint, which, by the way, VistaPrint I think is great. They're inexpensive. It's quick. But I would have business cards made up. On the back of the business cards, I would have a picture of and a brief description of this listing. And then I would take those business cards and give it to the homeowner and say, do me a favor, hand this out to everybody and anybody you meet and have them call me. So you won't have to deal with selling your house, but I'll deal with that. And then, of course, you can hand those cards wherever you go, and you go to a nice restaurant in the neighborhood, tell the waiters if you know if anybody's coming in from out of town. So all of these things that keep shaking the trees, okay?
Oh, that's a good one. Okay, I like that idea because I actually just pulled a list on Friday. It took me a while, and I tried. You know, I went on LinkedIn and said, "Give me all the companies, you know, kind of in that this area that had CEOs, senior VPs, you know, presidents that they were hiring." So at least I've got, but it's taken me a while just to get, you know, freaking HR people's names. You know? Like it's taken me a while to get the numbers and stuff.
Yeah, I would. Okay, the only thing I would say, just be careful of spending too much energy, too much time trying to sell the one listing.
Okay.
Just be careful of that. That's all.
Okay.
I'm not saying not to do that. Just don't put all your eggs into that basket. You know, try and keep building your listing inventory. Because what's going to happen is every moment that you're spending trying to make land this one sale. It's time that you're not getting more listings and you're spending money too on these other things. So you're spending money, bleeding money, nothing's coming in. So you still need to have that lower level listing, you know, that low end price properties that makes, you know, that those things sell quickly. That's revenue for you. The other thing too is, you know, you actually, having this listing, that might actually help you on the listing appointments of, let's say, the $200,000, $300,000, $500,000 house. And the reason why is because it shows a level of success that, you know, I would use that. I would go on a listing appointment saying something like, you know, Mr. Masana, you know, one of the things about the value that a realtor brings is the diversity that they have in their clientele and their business. See, for example, I just got hired. Let me just show you this listing. You know, this one of my clients, they entrusted me to sell their, you know, one point. What was it again, hon? How much was it?
1.4.
Yeah, $1.4 million listing, and, you know, and they're paying me my full fee. And the reason why I share that with you is because one of the values that I bring to the table for you is it's like a mall versus a mom-and-pop store. You know, I've used this analogy before, is that when you have a shoe store that you just have it on the corner, it's a freestanding building, you know, the only customers you get are going to be the buyers that are looking for shoes. But when you have a shoe store in a mall, well, what happens is you get the same buyers that might go to the mom-and-pop store, but you're also getting other buyers that go to, you know, to buy a new dress, for example, in the mall. And when a woman gets a new dress, she might have an afterthought. You know what? Let me check out the shoes and see if I can get a pair of shoes to match the dress. So there's additional – when you're in the mall, you get additional foot traffic that you don't get when you're out by yourself. And you as a FSBO, you're like the shoe store on the corner. You know, the only activity you're going to get are people who are looking for your specific home. But when you list with me, because of my inventory, my buyers, my sellers, I'm like, it's like you're now taking your house that's in a mall. I'm going to get more street traffic, which is why I can sell your house quicker for more money. You see how I did that?
Yes. Yes.
So that's okay. That's what I would do is I would use this listing on my listing appointments while you have it listed with you. Okay.
Gotcha.
All right,
thank
did
you,
I help you, Barbara?
Yes, you did.
All right,
yes.
Great. I'm going to put you back on mute. Thank you so much, and congratulations on that listing. Now, I've got somebody off hold here from, I see Illinois. Who is this? Who's in Illinois? Aurora. I have a power agent in Aurora, Illinois, or somewhere in Illinois. Who's there?
I am.
Okay. Who is this? What's your name?
Linda.
Hi, Linda. How you doing?
Hi, I'm doing okay. How about yourself?
I'm doing great, Linda, now that I'm talking to you. What can I do for you? What's your question, hon?
You know, I really just want your thoughts a little bit more about photography. Do you think we should just be taking our own pictures or what?
Okay. Well, that's a good question. I think that if you are really bad, Linda, at taking photos, you shouldn't do it. it depends on the list. There's a couple of things. Number one, it depends on the listing. You know, if it's a high-end, Barbara was just saying, you know, I would definitely have more professional photos taken. I'm going to recommend something to you in just a minute about videos, but a lot of agents are using, you know, for the middle to high end properties, the drones, and I think that's a great idea.
Unless
say if you're going to take your own. What's that, hon?
Unless there's roof damage.
Unless there's roof damage. Well, actually, even if there's roof damage, the way the drones can work is that, you can avoid the roof. You know, you can, instead of taking the photo at eye level, it might just go up maybe 5 feet above your head. So you're still not getting the roof, but it goes up the driveway and then it circles to the front door and the front door opens. And I've seen drones where they actually go into the house and circle around. So, so it's really engaging. It's interesting. And that's from a video standpoint. But as far as photos are concerned, now I will tell you, oh, gosh, I wish I could remember her name. There was one of my power agents in Wisconsin. I remember it was Wisconsin. And what she did was she had this listing that was an expired. It was on the market for like 9 months. It expired. She listed it. And she sold it like in the first 30 days. And I'm going to tell you what she said to me, the reason why, is the photos that were the other agent had taken, They had taken photos of the front of the home, you know, a straight shot. What she did was, is she actually, Linda, walked to one side of the house with still a front photo, but the photo actually showed the depth of the home. Are you with me here, Linda?
Good.
You can see the front and the back. And because of that, it gave it some scale, so you can actually see now how big this house was, how deep it was. And she said it, she believes it was that photo, because the other photo, it was, you didn't see the side, you didn't see towards the back, and it made it look like a small cape. Whereas when she took the other photo, it was like the sprawling, you know, expanded ranch-looking thing. So I would say, as far as taking photos, is you've got to pay attention to what the photo's going to look like on MLS, on the Internet, because we have so many buyers now looking at our properties via the Internet, via through the MLS or other agents doing a printout. You know, it depends on your MLS. You know, some MLSs, when you print out the full report to a listing, you know, it's only going to show you the home page photo, whatever that is, that main photo. And if
yeah,
that's
which requires the front.
Okay. So if it requires the front, make sure it's a good front photo, because that's going to be the flyer, in a sense, that the other agent's going to print out when they give it to their buyers and they're comparing other homes. So that first initial photo is your marketing photo. You got to pay special, close attention to that. Does that make sense?
It sounds like it does. It sounds like what you're saying is maybe if homes are over 700,000, we should hire out. Otherwise, we should probably just buy your own $600 camera or, you know, start saving up for it, walk around with the cowboy lights and do it ourselves, but be creative.
Well, and you know what? I don't even think you need a $600 camera. I'll be honest with you. I mean, people ask me about videos because I do so many videos, and they think I've got, like, you know, professional camera equipment, blah, 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 which I do, by the way. I've done videos on, you know, a $1,200 video camera. And I'll tell you, the one that I use all the time, though, and people is my iPhone. My iPhone is my camera. And, you know, there is a way to control the lighting with an iPhone, and it's called white balance, where you lock it in. And so, you know, you don't have to buy a $600 camera. Buy a $600 phone and use that. And I've got, and plus my iPhone is a 5, you know, now the 6, I think it's got a better camera lens on it. So bottom line is, you know, I don't think you need to get an expensive camera. Now, here's the other thing. Even regardless of the price of the home, you know, if you're a successful listing agent, you're rocking and rolling, you may just want to delegate that period, meaning that you delegate your photos, you delegate your yard sign installs. Like, the more you delegate that you're not doing, that frees up your time to go on more listing appointments and build your inventory. So there's another philosophy to that, too, okay?
Part-time assistant.
Yes, exactly. It's like you're outsourcing your assistant. You know, I'm doing a seminar for the National Speakers Association. We have our own convention every year, and our convention is in 2 weeks in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm very excited. It's my first time speaking to other speakers about the speaking business, and so I'm honored to do that. And I was one of the slides I put together, Linda, is I'm going to tell everybody who's on my team in my company, you know, that runs my speaking business. And when I put together this visual, Linda, I was like, damn, my company's huge. At least it looks that way. And really what it is, Linda, is that I have a lot of virtual people that I outsource stuff. You know, I have people that we outsource our email system to. I have another person that outsources our website, another person that is our desktop publishing. So, you know, we outsource things so that way we're not physically doing it ourselves. So, all right?
Yes.
Okay, great. Did that help you, Linda?
Yes.
Okay, good. All right. Well, thank you so much. I'm going to put you back on hold. Is there anybody else, not on hold, but mutual, does anybody else have something you need help with, some coaching on? You know, just hit *7 on your keypad one time, and I'll be able to hear you. So anybody, Marty, by the way, Marty, don't you know, you just took yourself off on hold.
Hey, Derek, how are you, buddy?
Hey, good, buddy. Listen, I've been getting your emails. Thank you very much. I'm going to, Marty, I'll call you from the car after my call, okay? When we're
you
done
got
with
it, buddy.
Call, I'm going to call. All right, buddy.
Yeah, I just want to make something about the, just wanted to comment about the photo, the photos and the taking the pictures.
Sure.
I've had agents invest in a decent camera and a tripod and take an adult education class on how to take really good photos and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it's impressive to some of the homeowners. Or you can hire a private, you know, company for $200 to $300, whatever. Either way, you're investing in their business, and it's all about the show, you know, showing the homeowner that you're out there and that you're the best of the best.
Yeah, and you know what? Let me just, you know, piggyback on what you just said on there, Mark, is two things. If you outsource anything like a photographer, Linda, I know you're still muted, Linda, but everybody, you know, I would have that in my listing appointment. I would show, like, here's who's on my team, you know. So I would show that we have a professional photographer and I have this person and that person. Because that will make your team look bigger. These are resources you have that the developer doesn't have. The other thing too, Marty, I'm just going to put you back on mute for a second. The other thing, like Marty suggested, if you took a class, whether it's at a community college and you had a certificate for that, I would also point that out to a homeowner saying, listen, you know, this photo, people don't realize how important photos are. You know, because we're in a visual world. It's a $500,000 house or $200,000 house. People want to be able to see it virtually along with in real life. It's the virtual that actually gets people excited to want to come see it in actual person. And that's why, and gang, I'm going to say this too, that when you do use your photos on your listings, it's really important that you really get, like, don't take, like, 20 photos of one room. Or 20 photos of the backyard, you know, because what happens when we as agents go on MLS and we see, you know, a 10-room house and there's 20 pictures of, like, one room and the other 9 we can't see, you all know what we think. We immediately think there's something wrong with this house because the agent's not showing me the whole house. You know, what's wrong with the other 9 rooms that they're not showing us? So don't try and hide everything. Try and take pictures of every room. And I want to jump to something now because I'm looking at the time and I've only got less than 15 minutes with you. I did a little research this morning for you guys. I stumbled on something here about videos. Now, I want to remind you guys, we have a Facebook group page called Power Agents. If you go to facebook.com/groups/PowerAgent, you'll get access to the group, but we have to accept you in there. There's a couple of things I gave you on there as gifts. One of them is these websites I'm going to mention right now. Also, you know, Realtor.org, they have – oh, and there's another software. I'm looking at it now, by the way. There is this – Realtor.org has a lot of resources. When you log in with your username and password – there's so much great stuff in there. You guys should make sure you're using it. That's number one. Number two is on the website, on the Facebook page, I gave you – there's a thing called Matterport.com, Matter, M-A-T-T-E-R, port.com. What they do is it gives you really cool 3D surrounds, 360-degree photos of listings. Just check it out. It's really quite impressive. I put that on the Facebook page for you. I also, what else did I give you on the Facebook page? Well, there's some other stuff. I can't talk about it. It's too much. There's a lot. But let me tell you about this 3 websites that will help you do video tours of your listing so easy. So easy. So awesome. So 3 sites. Number one, Videolicious. .com. It's all one word, video. And for the people that didn't graduate college, here's how you spell the rest of that. Videolicious is L-I-C-I-O-U-S.com. Videolicious. Vicious, LICIOUS.com. Check that out. That, to me, was my favorite. There's also Magisto, MAGISTO.com, MAGISTO.com. And then lastly, there is Animato. Now, Animato, a lot of you probably know about this, A-N-I-M-O-T-O. What they do is actually they take photos and create a very engaging video with photos. I think you might even be able to throw in video in there. But for those of you that are really not tech savvy, these are three incredible. I like Videolicious the best. These are incredible, easy, awesome ways to do engaging videos to promote your listings. And I'll tell you something. You bring this to a listing point. You take one of these, you take one of your listings, you do Videolicious on it. I would bring that on the listing point and say, let me show you one of the things that I do to, and why I can sell a house better than you can. And yeah, I think it's a great listing tool. All right. Now, I just got a text. April, what is the website I'm going to tell people? April, are you there? All right. Sorry, April was just texting me. There's a webinar I'm going to be doing next week on the listing appointment. It's just 1 hour on the listing appointment. So if you guys want to participate on that webinar where you just listen and we're working on it. It's the first time I'm doing a one-hour full-fledged webinar on just one topic. So we want to let you know about it. It'll be a fully training, one-hour training. So that we're going to post that. It's a long website, web address to log in. So we're going to put the link there for you in the Power Agent group on Facebook. Okay, good. Now let me go back to, let's see what else we have. We got 10 minutes left. Does anybody else have a question you need coaching on before I jump to something else? Anybody have something you need help with? Who's there?
Hey, Daryl, it's Mary Case Friedner again.
Yes, Mary Case.
On the second question. This always something new you run into, regardless of how long you've been doing it. I put an offer in on Saturday afternoon to an agent I've never dealt with before on a property that already had an accepted offer, but he kept pushing me for an offer. My clients know the owner, and they've been in communication with him by email. I don't believe my offer has been presented yet. He keeps saying to me that he's not been able to reach the owner, but the agent does. So I don't know what my next move should be. I don't want to accuse him of lying to me and being a dishonest agent, but still.
All right, well, I'll tell you how to handle this one, darling. And now, Mary, this is aggressive, but this is how I'll handle it. But before I tell you that, Mary, I have somebody in Cape Coral, Florida. Sandy, is it? Are you on the call, Sandy?
I'm here.
Okay. I see that you took yourself off hold. I want you to know I'm going to come to you, so you stay right there, okay?
Will do.
Let me finish. All right, great. Let me finish answering Mary's question here. So, Mary, here's how I would – Mary Case, how I would handle this, most people – I don't know if a lot of people would do it this way, but here's how I would do it, is I would actually go to the homeowner's house, and I would say, Mr. Masano, my name is Daryl Davis from Power Realty. As you know, I had shown your property, and it turns out that my buyers did put in a formal offer. The thing is, I can't talk to you about it because how it works in the real estate world is that all offers must be presented through the listing agent. I did give it to the listing agent, but for whatever reason, they haven't been able to get in touch with you. So I just wanted you to know that I had this offer and we're waiting. Is there a way that you can contact your agent and get in touch with them so we can set up an appointment where I can present this offer? So, Mary Case, that's what I would do.
Okay. Since the buyers know the seller, could they just send him an email asking him to please contact his agent? He already told him he put an offer.
Here's why I wouldn't do that, is I would not want to empower the buyers and sellers talking to one another. Now, the fact that they know each other, the fact that they're friends, they're probably going to do that anyway, which I think is what you're telling me they are doing. But I wouldn't want to have my buyers do my job. So if I tell the buyers, could you do that for me? You know, you're not earning your commission. So what I would do is take the bull by the horns, and when the buyers, as soon as the buyers had told you, yeah, listen, I'm friends with these people, and I don't think they even know we have our offer, I would say to my buyers, listen, do me a favor. This is very important. Don't I know you're friends with them, but while we're negotiating, do not, I'm going to say it again, do not talk to the sellers directly. Let me take care of this. I'm glad you told me this. I'm on it. I'll take care of it. I'll get back to you tonight. Then I would immediately go over to, then I would do what I say, because you've got to show people you're the one in charge here. And don't give your power away. And then I would go to the homeowner and do what I said, knock on the door. Now, here's what's going to happen. The agent's going to get a call from the homeowner. The agent is going to call you pissed off to all high heavens, because now either if the agent was lying, they got caught in the lie. If the agent wasn't lying, you just made the agent look bad to the homeowner. But here's what I say. I don't care. I got an offer, and you telling me you can't get a hold of them, that ain't fly with me. This is, as soon as a buyer writes an offer, that offer should get presented the day they wrote the offer. It's always been my philosophy. Because the when a buyer goes to sleep, if they don't have their offer presented, they go to sleep, they cool down the next day, and it hurts the seller. So it's in the seller's best interest that before the buyers go to sleep, that offer gets presented and the deal is done. My deals never stretched when days and weeks. The day it's written is when it gets presented and accepted or killed. That's it. Does that make sense, Mary Case?
Yes, it does. Yes,
and
it does.
So, you know, if the agent gets pissed, it's only because they didn't do their job. Don't let that bother you. Just say, when they call you and they're going to be nasty or whatever, you're not allowed to interfere. I mean, it didn't interfere. It's still your listing. I didn't try and list the property. I didn't present the offer. I didn't do anything against our rules and regs or our code of ethics. If anything, I could argue that you're the one breaking the code because I gave you the offer and it hasn't been presented yet. So listen, let's just get off this. Let's focus on what we're both committed to, which is selling the property. I want to see the sellers and present the offer in person. I'm ready tonight to do it. And by the way, last thing, Mary Case, you should always write in your offer that this offer is subject to you presenting it face-to-face to the sellers. You tell the buyers that this is how you want to do it because it's in their best interest that you present the offer. And that's – so you presenting the offer is actually part of the offer. So when you call the listing agent, say it's part of the contingencies that I presented directly to the homeowner. I want to do it with you. I don't want to go over to the house without you. But you can't present my offer. Together, we will go over to the homeowner. We'll sit in the kitchen, and I will tell them all of the details about the offer. Now, you're kind of at a disadvantage, Mary Case, because you probably gave the listing agent all the information already. So that kind of hurts you a little bit. But you should never let a listing agent present your offer because they will not do it the right way. This is what happens. This is why you're having this problem. So everybody, here's how you present offers. And I have to jump to Sandy because I only got 3 minutes left on the call. A lot of you on this call have my audio CDs. And one of the CDs is how to negotiate offers. What I'm talking about is on that CD. When you write an offer, you put it you write on the offer it's contingent to the agent, presenting it directly to the homeowner. And when you call the listing agent, you don't tell them the offer, you don't tell them the terms, you don't tell them the price, you tell them I have an offer. It's contingent on me presenting it face to face to the sellers. So I like to set up a time when you and I both can go together. And if the listing agent pushes back and says, that's not how we do it, say, I know that's not how we do it, but that's how it is. You know, it doesn't matter what you want, what you think, what you feel, that's what it is legally, and so that's what I have to do. And if the listing agent really pushes back, then you got to get something in writing from the listing agent. I probably shouldn't have started this answer here, Mary Case, because I probably need about 20 minutes to explain the whole thing. But that's why I said the CD. Those of you that have that CD, it explains it. All right. So for the most part, though, did I help you, Mary Case?
Tremendously. Thank you. Tremendously, Daryl.
Oh, you're so welcome. Okay, I'm going to put you back on mute. And, Linda, I know you're there. I got to put you back on mute because I don't have time. I only have Sandy. Sandy, what's your question?
Okay, my question is that I have satisfied buyers and sellers who would be more than happy to give me a recommendation to either get listings
yes.
or work with buyers. I prefer to have it written because I'd like to post it on my website, Facebook, you know, put it in any type of printed matter that I send out.
Yes.
But my question is,
yes.
is like, what format, what questions am I supposed to ask? I don't want them to have free will and just write whatever because either something's going to be too short or too long.
Yes, yes.